town. It's impossible to avoid them. Seems like just everybody got the pride, it just ain't right. I saw one up close, I'll tell you what he looked like. He had a nose and two eyes, just like you and I. But I knew there was something different about him. I could hear his heartbeat in a funny way. And just about then he got closer. He wanted to bite me, but I said no and I ran in. The kids of my generation weren't as lucky as I was. Young and grew up addicted to blood. I see them every day, hustling and struggling, working for more blood. Don't they know the more they need, the more they need? Oh, vampires, vampires, red, white, and blue. Dripping baby mouths, that's what it's all about. Vampires, vampires, red, white, and blue. Dripping owls, that's what it's all about. I see vampires running around all over town. It's impossible to avoid them. I try my best to stop them on my own. Am I all alone? Alright, don't be afraid. You bring the wine and I'll cook the food. We'll play some music and sing a song all night long. Tears will be free from our hearts, cause the only way to be free of the vampires is to let your soul shine through. Yes, the only way to be free of the vampires is for you to be you. Oh, vampires, vampires, red, white, and blue, dripping from green mouths, that's what it's all about. Vampires, vampires, red, white, and blue. That's what it's all about. Vampires, vampires, red, white, and blue. Dripping from green mouths. That's what it's all about. And I see vampires running around all over town. It's impossible to avoid them. Seems like just everybody got the bite, which is they ride. We need to find some way to cure them. I see vampires running around all over town. It's impossible to cure them. Seems like just everybody got the bite, which is they ride.
Okay, right, these mics on, 1, 2, 1, 2.
One,
yeah.
Two, one, two.
Okay, right, this is...
Trying to sound intelligent.
Trying to sound intelligent.
Trying to sound intelligent.
Trying to sound intelligent, and I am Mr. G.
That isn't that actually I'm a G?
Look.
Isn't that actually just G?
It can be G. No, it's Mr. G. That's my stage name. That's what I go by.
Oh, okay.
Right?
It's your stage name. Quotation marks. Right. Stage name.
Okay.
Mr.
I like the way you did the little quotation
marks. Anyway, my name is Joshua.
I'm going to call you Josh.
You go ahead and do that. and this is true.
We're going to cut you down to size in this game, right? No. Now, the thing is, like, you know, people are going to be listening to this and, you know, I guess...
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you for anyone that dares to listen to anything like this. They just need to know that... I'm G and I'm a poet. Well, I'm a poet nearing retirement, I should say. I'll chat a bit about that later. And Josh is, what are you? You're a poet, musician,
I'm
songwriter.
A poet, musician, songwriter.
The whole nine.
Ninja. You know?
on the cusp of brilliance.
On the cusp. Less on the cusp and more like at the border entrance to brilliance, you know, and the border is manned by Donald Trump's henchmen.
With the big wall.
Big wall, a big massive wall.
It's getting ever higher and higher.
The closer I get, the higher. I'm like, exactly. I swear when I was like 5 miles ago.
This wall wasn't that big.
I couldn't scale this. But now I'm doing it legal. Yeah, that's how it feels like. But yeah, I've got my fingers in many,
but,
many parts.
But you know, the essence of the show is that like we're both performers. We both do, you know, shows, you know, up and down the country, different parts of the world and stuff like that. And what people don't know is that whenever we do meet, we tend to, I won't say argue, but I would say
fight.
Yeah, fight. Fight's a very good word. Fight, yeah, fight. Well, nice and short.
We actually hate each other. Yeah. I'm surprised you made it to my house. I'm surprised,
you let me in.
I'm surprised you made it to my postcode and you weren't shanked at any point. Exactly. Like, you know, Highgate has been on put on alert for at least 5 years. No misters and no G's. And you're at my door, so kudos.
I'm amazed you let me in.
Is that why you're wearing black to hide all the bloodstains? All the stab wounds. I'm airing you out. He's wearing black.
I wear black quite a bit, do you know what I mean? But that's what we do. But yeah, we're trying to just, I suppose, figure out the meaning of life.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And if we can't do it sooner, then we'll do it later. And then
when we're too old.
Exactly.
And we have no brain cells.
I figured out the meaning of
43, yeah. I told you.
Yeah.
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 We,
so
we tend to argue a lot.
Yeah, we argue a lot, and it does tend to frighten people. Rather than scare people at poetry nights or music events, we figured that we would just meet up at Joss's house and just argue in complete silence to nobody listening.
Actually, right? I thought that I get really annoyed that Mr. G gets to go home and think he's won. So I thought I'd bring him to my house where he won't be able to leave until he has acquiesced to my superior point of view.
When you bring a superior point of view, right? If ever, right? Just let me know. Do you know what I'm saying? Write to me in an old people's home, right? And say, "Gee, I've got a superior point of view. Are you dead yet?"
You know what? You know what? When you're dead at your funeral, I will drop my superior point of view on your lowing carcass as it goes into the grave. I will just drop it.
Have you seen the end of Carrie? The film Carrie. My hand will raise up out of the earth, take your superior point of view, and wipe my backside with it.
FYI, everyone on this show is over the age of 30. He just dropped a Carrie reference.
Carrie's deep horror, you know.
Yes,
deep horror.
All I'm suggesting is there are lots of people who probably haven't even seen Star Wars Episode 4, so we are fucking old.
Okay,
but yeah,
right,
parental advisory. Yeah, talking about the song we recently played, it was Vampires by Okote So Sound, a wonderful band.
You see, you should have done a better link. You should. If Carrie's a horror movie, I was going into horror movies, and then I was going to link to the vampires, right? That was my plan.
That was your plan.
I was going to do a whole thing about Carrie, the reawakening of a young woman having a period for the first time,
being covered in
blood. Yeah, we're going straight there now. Do you know what I'm saying, right? Talking about blood and then linking to the vampires, right? Mm. But you, amateur as you are, right, just went, "Hey man, the song I played at the beginning." Go on, tell us about your friend.
Okay.
Tell us about your friend and his song.
Actually, what I was going to say was, it's a good thing you've mentioned Carrie, because Carrie is a film about transformation, you know, and starts with that very horrible scene involving periods and blood and leading on from the blood.
I think I just said that. You're going to edit my bit out, aren't you? You're going to edit my bit out and say, "Hey man, I've got a great idea about Carrie."
All I'm saying is I've got the computer, I've got the garage band, and I'm left to the files. Anyway, which leads on to Vampires, which is the song we just played by Okote So Sounds, which is a song about vampires, and vampires is a mythical creature that feeds off the blood.
And they are friends of yours, aren't they?
What, vampires? No, vampires.
Okote
So Sound, the band are friends of mine. Yes, they are.
You're going to hear a lot of Josh's friends being played on this show.
What can I say? I have talented friends. But anyway, vampires, as blood-sucking creatures that feed off the soul and sustenance of others...
Are you talking about Justin Bieber now?
Yes. Moving straight on into cultural appropriation, a.k.a. Justin Bieber and his dreads.
How do you feel about his dreadlocks?
How do I feel about his dreads? I feel it is in poor taste, especially if it's just for an Instagram post.
It's just a hairstyle. Who cares?
It's Oh my God.
Like, realistically, who cares?
It is not just a hairstyle, brethren. This is a people's way of life. It's important to a lot of people. That comes with a lot of historical and cultural, and in some cases, religious context. It's not something that you just slap on your hair for... See, here's the problem I have with cultural appropriation.
Right.
I don't think there is a problem with you taking on other cultures, you know, to build whatever is your identity or your or what you feel is yourself, your what you like.
What Justin
yeah,
did. Yeah,
I feel like taking mix and match. But I feel like, you know, if you are...
Bieber Farai.
I can't even say that. But I feel like if you are assimilating different cultures and different parts of other people's cultures, it helps to, if you haven't grown up in that culture, if you're an outsider, it helps to understand the history, the context, and where your own culture, your own identity, or your race plays in relation to that.
But don't you think that's just a personal journey, right? Because the bottom line is that the fact is that, like, Justin Bieber, he might just look at it and just think, hey, man, you know what? This is some cool stuff. Let me just wear it. Other folks will then say, hey, the religious significance and the history and the blah, blah, and the da-da. And he'd be like, you know what? I don't give a damn.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
You understand? He's a pop star. And we live in a world where, you know, we live in a social media generation. We live in a part of history where everything's open. Everything is open to interpretation. Everybody has a voice, especially if he's on Twitter. Hashtag big up the sock puppets. the sock puppets and the angry keyboard warriors. Everybody has an opinion. And... whereas before, you know, you could do something like that, and the people who would be offended wouldn't be able to access it and explain their problem with it. Now we do. And other people's cultures isn't your afternoon, you know, it's not
but
your
don't
afternoon
you think it's, in the end of the day, it's only ever going to just be fashion, right?
But
it's only ever
going to
be, like, not seriously, it's
fashion.
Only going to ever just be
Beyonce
fashion.
Beyonce dressing right? up like an Indian for a Coldplay video.
Why not?
It's not just fashion, because it means more to people. It means more to people. It generally
she's
means,
never going to be Indian, right?
Never. If she grew up in the culture, she could
never,
be.
Never, ever, 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 ever.
If
ever,
she grew up in the
right?
culture, she
gonna
could
be Indian, right?
You know?
But why can't she rock some Indian garms?
Look.
Why can't Justin Bieber rock a dreadlock?
I'll give you an example, and then, because I know you've got a really, really interesting story, we could end on that story and move on to another song, because you're wrong, and I don't want our viewers to be bored with how wrong you are constantly. But basically, here's my point, right? No one's ever going to say Eminem is not a part of hip-hop, right? Because... he was a part of that culture. He grew up in that culture. He learned from the greats. He learned from the people before him, and he assimilated them and took them, you know, as part of his style to create what he did.
But he was also a good rapper.
He was part of that. Part of him being good was him listening. It's the difference between Eminem and Vanilla Ice. Vanilla Ice, you know, didn't have a talent really. I mean, he could dance, and you know, he could put a couple of words together, but. You know, I feel like with
I feel like you're struggling, right?
I'm not struggling.
Let me give you an example of what I think cultural appropriation is, right?
I had a point.
I know you had a point.
It was valid.
But, hey, this is what I think cultural appropriation is, right? You know, like when people wear these big, like, Russian hats.
Yeah.
Yeah, during winter, real fashion, those big, huge, like, furry hats. Like, they got the black ones and the grey ones. And they've got the insignia of the hammer and the sickle, right? And you know that insignia is sort of like, you know, workers' party, unite. The hammer represents the people working the factory. The sickle represents the people that are cutting the wheat, you know?
Yeah.
And so I used to wear that hat, you know, and feel like I was real trendy and cool and down with the whole left wing.
Hey,
Che Guevara, reappropriation of wealth, down with capitalism, blah, 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 right? So one time I'm wearing that hat. I walk into, like, a shop, one of them corner shops, right? Walk in there, and a dude behind, he sees me wearing the hat, and he just goes, hey man, where'd you get a hat from, right? And I was like, oh, you know, I just got it from the market just around the corner. And he just goes, do you know what that sign means, right? And I'm like saying, yeah, you know, it's like the workers and the anti-capitalism, and I'm down, blah, blah. And he just goes, no, that's the sign for the Soviet Union, right? And I was going, oh, right. And he goes, let me just clarify something. I'm from Afghanistan, right? And I was like, oh, man, damn. Because in the look in his eyes, I realized that, like, he'd probably lost family members. You know, he'd fought in wars and been oppressed by that sign. And so he found that sign offensive. And so me culturally appropriating that sign for a fashion statement was offending him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once I came into that knowledge, I just thought, you know what? I can't live with myself. So I just took the sign off and I just wear the hat.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? You know?
Yeah.
But that's my own personal journey. I've got to come to that understanding for myself. And if I didn't meet that dude, I'd still be wearing the hat.
Yeah. In my opinion, and it's my closing statement, I feel like it's a big fallacy that everyone is going to be offended at everything. I feel like that's just something that a lot of people who've gotten away with offending a whole bunch of people and not caring are just reacting to the fact that now the people who they would normally offend have a voice to tell them, yo, dude, that's wrong. Don't wear that. I'm not a costume. I'm not Halloween. Blackface ain't funny. Twerking ain't for you. Stop it. You ain't got a butt. Stop it. Stop it. So yeah, let's play the next song. You've got a track for us.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna play Funkadelic. I'll stay.
Okay, cool. Funkadelic. I'll stay. Stay.
Thank you.
that was Funkadelic and I'll Stay.
I'll Stay?
Oh, yeah. I saw George Clinton perform live at Wilderness. Yeah.
Okay. Like, that would have been fun.
Yeah.
I saw Sun Ra. That wasn't fun.
Oh, no.
That was fun. That was
George
like watching.
George Clinton's getting old, though. I can't lie. Like, I saw him about 20 years ago when he still had, like, a lot of, you know, pow funk. And the funk and funk, the craziness and the funk. Freakiness. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Funk is kind of like rock. It's really hard to do it when you're old because I feel like a lot of its strength comes from youth.
It's true, because it needs a sense of like madness. Do you know what I mean? Like and like that kind of craziness to bring to the stage. So even though he had like a whole you know young crew out there, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I remember when he used to like you know stick his tongue out and go all crazy and you know.
Ooh, stick his tongue out! Oh,
no, but when he does it, no. Hey, when George Clinton does it, it's on the next level, man.
Okay, you know all right, mean? Cool.
You know, don't ever underestimate the power.
If you never got
of
to
George
see
Clinton's tongue, right?
You know George Clinton sticking out.
In fact,
his
we should
tongue.
Erase that because that's sounding weird already. The power of George Clinton's tongue.
Trying to sound intelligent.
Yeah.
So okay, we've come into the geek section.
Oh yeah, the geek section. Because you're proper geeked out, aren't you? You're a proper gamer, right?
I'm a gamer.
You're a gamer, and you love the comic book stuff.
I love
right?
comic books.
And me, my comic book knowledge, because it really comes from comic books, kind of ends around
Batman.
Yeah,
in the 80s,
probably. Right? I went to a poetry night. Yeah, I've been going to a lot of open mic nights. I went to a poetry night the other day, and this dude. It was yesterday, actually, right? This dude did a whole poem about how he hated Batman Begins, right? And then he started rating them in different orders. So the one he liked was the one with Heath Ledger. That's his favorite one. And then he Batman Begins was like lower down. And then he didn't like the fact of the whole who's that dude, man? Val Kilmer,
Batman Forever.
And to me, that I love Batman Forever. Do you know with the Val Kilmer one, right?
Wow, problematic.
Exactly. No, we're gonna have problems. But the fact is that you have the superior knowledge here because you've seen Batman versus Superman.
No, it's just because I'm a better person.
I mean, right? No.
Just because I'm.
No. If you were a better person, you wouldn't say that you were a better person.
No, you would.
No, you wouldn't.
You would.
You would not.
Self-positivity.
You wouldn't need to say it. I would just know that you're a better person. But the fact you've got to advertise it, you do you know what I'm saying? Right? You got to bloody advertise it like moonpig.com, right? Do you know what I mean? Means that I'm just thinking this must be a piece of shit. You know? .com.
.com. Anyway, Batman.
Right, Batman versus Superman.
Batman versus Superman. Oh my God. What a steaming pile of doo-doo.
Seriously.
I do not think you can find a worse film this year.
What's the fight scenes like?
The fight scenes are terrible. There's only one fight scene of note, and it's the one at the end. This is why plots are important.
Yeah, yeah,
you need
that's
a purpose
true.
For the fight scenes to make sense. You can't just have two people fighting, otherwise it would be a YouTube clip and no one would care. But the thing that makes Superman and Batman interesting and why people want to see them fight is because Batman is supposed to use his brains while Superman is supposed
pounds.
To use his brawn. You imagine a fight between Batman and Superman where Batman would use the environment and he'd use gadgets and he'd use the shadows and he'd use his athleticism and essentially his superior thinking to overwhelm Batman, to overwhelm Superman. He would not go after Superman mano a mano, punch after punch. This fucking Batman.
Yeah.
Decides to punch Superman. Okay, he uses kryptonite gas and that weakens Superman to a level. It's dumb. It's dumb because it doesn't show Batman at his best and it doesn't show Superman at his best. And it's both of them being played for chumps by the most annoying Lex Luthor ever committed to celluloid.
Oh, is that Facebook
celluloid.
Dude? Isn't that guy that played
Facebook
guy?
Jesse, whatever his surname is.
He's Lex Luthor.
He's Lex Luthor.
No.
With hair until the end.
Oh,
it's
no.
Just, oh, my God.
Difficult.
You understand? And why do they stop fighting? Why Batman wins, by the way. Spoiler alert. Batman wins the fight.
Yeah.
Why does Batman stop himself from killing? But Batman kills.
He kills.
Batman kills. He kills in the film. He uses guns to kill. And he kills people in dreams and in real life. And he would have killed Superman if Superman did not have the same mom's name as Batman.
Seriously.
Superman's
this
mom
sound like some
is
weird,
Martha Kent. Martha
bloody
Kent. Yes. And Batman's mom is Martha Wayne. And because they both have the names Martha, Batman stops himself from killing Superman.
So what would, in your opinion, would be the best Batman movie?
So here's the thing, right? Go watch the cartoon version of Batman versus Superman. And it is beautiful.
Seriously.
It is funny. It references the history of both the characters. It has so much wit and it has so much life and it gets to the point quickly. It respects its audience. It understands. It does. It basically, the cartoon does everything Marvel did with Avengers, but better.
Right.
It's exactly what you expect.
Which Avengers, though? Avengers 1 or Avengers
2? Avengers 1.
Avengers 1?
Trust me, you need to see the cartoon. I saw a clip of it, and I was like, oh my God, this is everything I wanted from a Batman versus Superman fight. All of that, that cleverness is missing. The plot makes no sense. The characters' motivations are non-existent. We do not know why exactly Batman has such a hate boner for Superman.
That's because Superman stole his girlfriend.
No, it's not. It's not. You know what it is?
Trust me.
It is because...
Trust me. That's the only thing that would do it.
No. Basically, this is what did it. This
Superman stole his girlfriend. Superman said, I can take you around the world. And he did, literally. Right? You know?
That is...
Right?
It.
You know?
This is it.
And Batman couldn't compete in his...
I think it's because Batman is a racist.
You think Batman's a racist?
So look...
It's always going to come back to racism,
isn't it?
Right. Batman easy. Culturally appropriate?
No.
A pimp mobile.
No. You watch the beginning. You watch the beginning of the film, right? And it's all 9/11 imagery, right? Now there are two Kryptonians having a fight. Now are all Kryptonians bad? No.
Right.
It's clear that General Zod is the bad one, and Superman is the good one.
Yeah.
But because Batman is such a Donald Trump lover. He immediately says all Kryptonians are bad.
Oh,
fuck
wow.
All Kryptonians.
He makes a jump.
Right? Because if you think of it as a sequel of Man of Steel, General Zod posted a meeting. General Zod, who could easily be a stand-in for Al-Qaeda or ISIS, he's posted
anybody
up,
slightly
yeah,
brown.
He posted up a message saying, I'm going to fuck up the world unless you agree to my demands. And his demands was, I want Superman, right? General Zod brings this big machine, a big fucking nuclear warhead or whatever, in analogy, and destroys all of New York. Superman is clearly, he doesn't do a good job about it, but he's clearly doing his best to stop him.
Right.
Now, if you are the world's greatest detective, you would see that. You would know that General Zod is the bad guy, and Superman, despite being a Kryptonian, is actually on your side. But if you are a fucking racist...
Right.
Fucking racist.
He doesn't like Superman.
Exactly.
Because Superman's an immigrant. You know what I mean?
He's come over here.
Took his girl. Took his job.
Stealing his job.
You know
exactly. As a superhero.
Exactly. Right? Took everything from him. Do you know what I'm saying?
Damn it.
You know? Wearing flashy clothes because Batman's in black, so he's down with the crew.
And this
Superman's,
guy's coming here.
Superman's multicolored.
Bringing blue, black.
Blue, yellow, and red, and all that kind of stuff.
And
a cape. You know what I mean?
Capes.
And that was Batman's thing.
That was his thing.
Right, yeah. Nah, I can see.
And he can fly for real.
I can see why he hates
you. You know? Free market.
I can see why.
His jobs.
He hates him. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Kick him out.
Don't watch the film. Exactly. That's basically what I'm trying to say.
That's Josh. So that doesn't get Josh's recommendation at all.
All right. Cool.
At all.
You had a song, another song for us to play, right?
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Check the Rhyme by Tribe Called Quest.
Check the Rhyme by Tribe Called Quest coming up. Check the Rhyme.
The days on the boulevard are lending. We used to kick routines and the presence was fitting. It was I, the abstract.
And me, the five-footer. I kicks the mad style, so step off the frankfurter.
Yo, Fife, you remember that routine? That we used to make spiffy like Mr. Clean?
A tidbit, a smidgen. I don't get the message, so you got to
okay.
Run the pigeon.
You're on point, Fife.
All the time, Tip.
You're on point, Fife.
All the time, Tip.
You're on point, Fife.
All the time, Tip.
So then grab the microphone and let your words rip.
Now here's a funky introduction of how nice I am. Tell your mother, tell your father, send a telegram. I'm like an energizer cause you see I last long. My crew is never ever whack because we stand strong. Now if you say my style is whack, it's where you're dead wrong. I say that body and El Segundo, then push it along. You be a fool to reply the fight is not the man. Cause you know and I know that you know who I am. A special shout out piece goes out to all my pals you see. And a middle finger goes for all you punk MCs. Cause I love it when you whack MCs despise me. They get vexed, I'm all next and none can test me. I'm just a fly MC who's 5'3" and very brave. On top remaining, no, I'm training cause I misbehave. I come correct in full effect of all my holes in check. And before I get the butt, the gym must be a wreck. You see, my aura's positive, I don't promote no junk. See, I'm far from a bully and I ain't a punk. Extremity of rhythm, yeah, that's what you heard. So just clean out your ears and just check the word.
Check the time, y'all. Check the time, y'all.
The days on the boulevard of Linden, we used to
kick routines and the presence was fitting. It was I, the Viper,
and me, the Abstract. The rhymes were so rumpin' that the brothers wrote the Zap.
Hey yo, Tip, do you recall when we used to rock those fly routines on your cousin's block?
Let me see. Damn, I can't remember. I received the message and you will play the same.
You're on point, Tip.
All the time, Fife.
You're on point, Tip.
Yeah, all the time, Fife.
You're on point, Tip.
You're all the time, Fife.
So play the Resurrector and give the dead some life.
Okay, if knowledge is the key, then just show me the lock. Got the scrawny legs, but I move just like Luke Rock with speed. I'm agile, plus I'm worth your while. 100% intelligent black child. My opera presentation sizzles the retina. How far must you go to gain respect? Well, it's kind of simple, just remain your own, or you'll be crazy, sad, and alone. Industry rule number 4080. Record company people are shady. So kids, watch your back, cause I think they smoke crack. I don't doubt it, look at how they act. I'm off the better things like a hip-hop forum. Pass me the rock and I'll score with the girl improper. What you say, hammer? Proper. Rap is not pop, if you call it that, then stop.
Cool, that was Check the Rhyme by the infamous A Tribe Called Quest. And I guess, like, with the recent passing of Fife Dog, it's brought a lot of memories. Mm. I used to really, really, like, love A Tribe Called Quest.
I could see that.
I was in the zone.
You were rapping along.
I was the low-end theory. You know, it was me.
It wasn't.
No, it was.
You're Mr. G.
It was. No, no, no.
You're not.
Oh, Fife. I'm Mr. G now, yeah. Right? The Mr. comes out, right? So when you want to insult me, you call me Mr. G?
Yes.
Ah, interesting, yes. Joshua. Yeah. Right? Nah, but that tune, it's got a lot of memories. Like, one time I was, I used to, like, DJ way back in the days, and I was DJing, I think it was in the 90s sometime, right?
Mm.
And I only had one turntable, right? You know? And this other dude, he had another turntable, right? Hey, things were tough back in those days, man. You can't afford what you can afford, right?
I can imagine.
Yeah? And so, you know, we got together, and so we decided to do this thing where he plays one tune, I play another tune, he plays one tune, I play another tune. And we just kind of like having a little battle between ourselves while the crowd were dancing. And so I can't remember what I was playing at the time. Is probably, I don't know, Rough Riders or something like that, you know what I mean?
Wow.
Or, you know, Pharaoh, you know, some way back stuff, right? And he dropped that tune. And it absolutely destroyed me. It's one of those ones where the crowd just, I was hitting him with the hard, jump up, do you know what I'm saying, right? You know, real, you know, Kilimanjaro stuff, right?
Yeah,
do you know what I'm saying,
just
right?
Came
and he
corner.
Came with that smooth, you know, back in the days on the boulevard, and the crowd just flowed with it. And I just, you know, when you just have to accept, like, wow.
You've
slaughtered
lost.
Me.
Okay.
He absolutely slaughtered me. Okay. And he didn't play the intro with the horns. He didn't play the da-da-da-da-da-da. He didn't play that. He could play the ba-dung-dung, ding-ding-ding-ding. And oh, God, man.
Scene.
Killed it.
It would have been wonderful watching you kind of like...
Fold. And cry and die.
I mean, I've seen it.
Get in the fetal position.
I've seen it time and time again, obviously, whenever we meet. But it's always nice to watch it from the outside and see someone else.
You've never, ever... What? What? You know what I mean? Yeah. You're there. You're busy watching Batman and Superman. I'm the Hulk.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
I'm the Hulk up in this, man.
Hulk hasn't had a good film.
It don't matter. It don't matter whether the Hulk's had a good film, right? The Hulk just smashes. That's all the Hulk does.
So,
right?
Yeah, speaking about performances, DJ performances, spoken word performances, you said you were at... an open mic night yesterday.
I was at open mic yesterday. I'm the old man of the poetry scene. I've realized that.
No, you're not.
I am, seriously.
No, you're not.
Dude, I am the old
man
of the poetry.
You go to the poetry cafe on a Tuesday.
Them dudes there, man. You know what I mean? They're reading Bible verses.
So you're older and then Asian. Right? Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough.
But what I mean is, like, you know, I've been going to, like, you know, different poetry nights and just you know, putting my name down on the list, waiting for a little while, doing my little bits. That's where the guy was doing the Batman.
Yeah. Are you doing new pieces?
Yes and no. I'm trying out different stuff, like, because sometimes I'll write something which I guess is old to me, but I've never done it before because I've got a really bad memory. It takes me ages to memorize something. So sometimes I might have written something maybe a year or 2 years ago, but I've only just memorized it now, you know. So
I'm just
trying to work stuff out like that, man. But it's interesting the things you see. Like, so I went to this one night. It was called Keith's House.
Mm.
those you don't know, I'm a member of a group called Chill Pill.
Yeah.
There are several amazing
poets. A group called Chill Pill? Tell me more about this group, Mr. D.
This is not a plug, right? You know what I mean? You know, but no, you're going to hear a lot of me, you know, chat a lot about them. There's this guy, Raymond Antrobus, Simon Mole, Deanna Roger.
Deanna Rogers.
And Adam Kamerling. But anyway, some of them run the night, this place called Keith's House. And what happened was that there was this feature performer, right? She's like, I can't remember her name, but she published everything and she's reading all these poems, you know what I mean? And they're fantastic, right? Mm. Now, before, there was some weirdo on the open mic, right? Some girl that she came on the mic, you know, and she said she's so inspired by Ed Sheeran, right? So inspired by Ed Sheeran that she then tried to turn one of his songs into a weird poet-y type song, right?
Okay.
And it was awful, right? Then she started talking about her life, and me, I'm just getting bored as hell, right? So then the main feature comes on, and she's doing all these, like, you know, poems about, you know, like death and autumn and winter and stuff like that.
Not death and autumn.
Yeah.
It's never happened before.
But, you know, she's taking you there, right?
Okay,
you know what I mean,
cool,
right?
Cool.
When the main feature finishes, right, this open mic girl jumps on straight afterwards and goes, "Oh my God, I'm so moved. I'm so moved by what you said. I'm so moved. Oh my God. You know, this reminds me of the time I used to talk to my grandmother and I used to torture my grandmother. I used to torture her and she had Alzheimer's." And you know, you're just there thinking, what the fuck are you doing up? Who invited you onto the stage, right? You know what I mean? Who invited you? Who called you, man?
Who told you?
Who called you? You know what I'm saying? Right? You know? It's like, and I was getting annoyed. Right, and you know, the hosts, the members of Chill Pill, Simon and Ray, right? They were just trying to, like, you know, placate her and calm her down and whatever. And in the end, you know, they just went on afterwards and just did their thing, and it just eased off. But it just annoyed me. It annoyed me so much, right? Because to me, it's like she's just seeing someone else's shine and jumping onto it. You know what I mean?
You mean like a kind of a emotional appropriation?
Emotional appropriation, not an emotional appreciation, right?
No,
and so
no.
We got into this big argument over it. Like, I was saying that was out of order. Some people saying, oh, well, you know, if she was inspired by this thing, right, then why not just go up there and express yourself? And I was like, if she wants to express herself when she's inspired, why don't she buy the girl's book? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
right?
I think this is one.
Or go up to the feature and say, look, your poem was amazing and it moved me, right? But she wanted that applause.
Yeah, I think this is something that we will both be on the same side on, rare as it is, sound the alarms. I mean, this goes right back to Lil Mo jumping on Jay-Z's stage when he's performing. Right.
Or even Kanye jumping on Taylor West thing, saying that whole thing.
It's Taylor Swift.
Well, Taylor West, my God. Maybe I know something you don't.
We are not editing that.
Maybe I know something you don't, man.
Maybe you do.
That's the inside scoop,
man.
Kim Kardashian, you are out of here.
Heard it here first. Yeah, G-Stradamus.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like it is the worst thing you can do as an artist or a performer of any level, and when someone else has essentially poured their heart and soul and shown off their training and their practice and their performance, and they've really managed to win a crowd, and you don't give that applause and that, you know, appreciation a chance to end, you just immediately jump in
and try and
ride the coattails for your own self.
And you're doing it under the banner of, like, I'm so moved by what you just did.
It's not.
Like, imagine I jump on at the end of Benin City and just go, oh my God, that was so amazing. Give me the mic, blah, 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 blah.
It's like, I remember when I used to do stuff with LV, plug.
Yeah.
LV.
Are they friends of yours?
Yeah, they're friends of mine. Right? I work with them. We do music together.
I wonder what the next tune's going to be.
Oh, it's not going to be them. That's rude. But anyway, we used to perform and we used to do these club nights.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm there, and it would take me a while to warm the crowd because essentially I'm doing spoken word over electronics, right?
Yeah.
So it's not exactly the most geared for dancing, and especially drunken dancing. But we have a couple of tunes that actually get the crowd working. So we go from zero, where people are kind of like completely dumbfounded to confused, to, oh, I can get this, to like, oh my God.
So that's your audience bracket, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Dumbfounded, confused,
and then, oh, and then, oh my God, I like this. And then, yes, I am totally dancing along and singing along with
this guy.
That's
some Venn diagram.
And usually that is at the very end when people are dancing, I've got everything everybody's saying some stupid mad thing I came up with on the spot.
Yeah.
That is the moment I get the most amount of MCs who come up to me and say they want to bless the mic.
Whoa.
I'm like, brethren, did you see this as open mic on the front door? I keep telling them, they come to me like, bruv, do you mind? Can I get the mic? Cypher. I'm like, it's not a cypher. It's not been a cypher for the last 45 minutes. You know, this last 15 minutes when I'm riding the glory days into the mouth of Valhalla, it's still not a cypher.
Exactly.
You know, maybe at the beginning, you know what I mean? When it was a struggle, I could have brought you on.
When there was no one in the audience,
you
right?
Know what
you
I'm
could
saying.
Cypher all,
you know what I'm
all
saying.
Day long, man.
You know, because you're not there appreciating their craft. You're not there showing the person love. Like you said, if you wanted to show the person love, you'd buy their book. You'd go up to them, shake their hand, you'd find them on Twitter or on Facebook. And you shake their hand. You talk to this person privately as a one-to-one. Like, mate, your piece made me feel like I was torn apart and restitched together in a way I didn't know I could be restitched. You know, you've opened up parts of me I thought were locked up. That is appreciation. Jumping on stages.
Sounds like a plug for Wolverine.
Yeah. But jumping on stage, that, I mean...
It's not good.
It's. I think it's a terror. Yeah.
What do you think about like, I would say poets who freestyle?
Oh my God! There is nothing worse. There's nothing worse than a poet who freestyles. There's absolutely.
I do know a few. There's a guy I know, man. Ah, oh, this is weird.
You're gonna say David J.
No. Oh no. Hey, no, see, David J. David J. is amazing.
Here's the difference in David J. See, it's. Look, I think there are no rules in spoken word. There are only conventions, right? You know, I could come up to you and tell you, like, don't write abstract poems. And man will write an abstract poem that'll make everybody's eyes just cheer up. I will tell you, don't use repetitive, you know, what's it called? Repetitive poems, like list poems. And I write list poems for days.
Yeah.
I can make a list poem shine. Yeah. At least I can do that. I know that. So there are no rules. But I feel like the one thing that has the most amount of fuck-ups is freestyle poetry. David J, right, is very, very, because he's got some canned lines, he's got some very good rhymes, he's brilliant at rhyming, he's like the best MC ever to rock it. So him freestyling, that's another category. Yeah. But just standing there and just being like, also another person who's really good at freestyle poetry, Zia Ahmed is amazing. I mean,
I like Zia, man.
I really don't know how he does it, but he's like, he has a set amount of topics and he's like...
He's got a cool persona when he goes on the mic.
He's got a cool persona and he's got a set amount of topics in his head. So he would be like, you know, yeah, they said go oink oink. I went boink boink and I hate the cops. The cops are pigs. Don't eat pigs.
Wow, that's not sounding good,
not
Josh.
Josh, you see what I mean? It ain't sounding good, Josh.
You know what
I mean? Zia would make that sound lovely.
You're not selling yourself well here, man. You know what I'm saying?
Zia.
Boy, hey. Oink, oink. My man put oink in a rhyme. Deep out here, man. It's real on road.
Okay.
It's real on road.
But yeah, well, what were you going to say about...
No, one thing is, like, I know some dudes, right? And like they're young guys, like, you know, like, I don't know, 18, 19, and they're just getting...
Always too young.
They're just getting into the whole performing and the freedom of spoken word. So that's the beauty of it, right? That there's a freedom to it, do you know what I mean? Where you can do whatever it is and you can carve your own way out of it. But there's this desire to freestyle, and it usually goes along the lines of, like, I'm feeling so lost and alone in the place when I don't know what zone I'm going in, and how can I say
alone
that I'm committing
zone,
crimes like
that.
Al Capone? You don't know. You don't own me and what I'm about to say. Freedom goes whichever way it wants to be. And you're like, and in a way,
I'm
it's
a
like,
pauper sat, you know, on exactly, the throne.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, I wear my dreadlocks and I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so it's just, and you, it's like, it ain't going nowhere. It ain't going nowhere. And I can, and I'm sitting in there and I'm going, dude, this ain't going nowhere. I can see it ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, but do you then curb someone's expression? Because in 2 years' time, the guy might be a genius.
If I felt that there was something you did that I didn't like, I'd tell you. I'd just be like, brethren, that was not good. You need to do better. It's like when you see somebody and they're dropping N-bombs in their rap. I'm like, you're not American, bro. You're never going to get the N-word right.
What they're saying. we gonna run to? Mama got the blues, and what Lord is he gonna do? Lord, I got a bad old feeling, humming that old distant melody.
That was C.W. Stone King with Mama's Got the Blues. Yeah.
Mama's Got the Blues, man.
Mama's Got the Blues. That is an amazing song. I've been placating that for the last
sounds
week
appropriated
and a half.
To me, man.
Appropriated. Okay.
She says so. Wow. You just stopped.
I don't know what to say about that, but you know, if that's
they don't sound like from Mississippi, man. Yeah.
He's not from Mississippi, he's from Australia.
There you go, man. You know what I'm saying?
That's why I didn't say anything. Yeah. Trying to sound intelligent.
Trying to sound. See, I can't say China. I gotta say trying to.
Just say China. China. Yeah, yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
I've got to learn your
China's
slang,
China's Kardashian.
Yeah.
Trying to sound intelligent. Joshua, Mr. G.
Doing it for the people.
Doing it for the people.
Doing it large. Bigging it up.
Talking about shit.
Yeah.
And trying to make sense of it.
Yeah,
and Mr. G kind of coming to terms with Josh constantly being right about stuff.
Right wing.
Oh, that would be the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, topic we want to talk about, one-man shows. There are a lot of one-man shows happening.
That seems to be like the fashion now.
There's a whole festival called the Last Word Festival where, like, I think everyone
has got a one-man
show. If you haven't got a one-man show on the Last Word Festival, then you're not a poet, really. Right. Really, if you think about it, you're not.
We might have a one-woman show.
One-person show.
Hey,
progressive.
We've got to keep it all, you know...
Forward thinking rhythms.
I've seen a few of them. So was it Maria Ferguson's show?
That was amazing. That was so good. Maria Ferguson, you are done.
She got a good show.
That was good. Francesca Breard was also very good.
Yeah, you know what? I've met her quite a few times since then because our show is about lying. Right. And so every time I meet her, I just tell her lies.
She goes,
"How was my show?" I said, "It's shit."
Yeah, she was really good. Yomi, he's so sold out. Coach.
Yomi's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I remember Yomi. you went apoplectic at the fact that he had walked backwards.
Yeah, no, because in his actual show, there are certain things that not many performers do on stage, right? You don't show your back to the audience, right? You know, and another thing is walking backwards. backwards. He walked backwards about maybe, I don't know, about like, was it 10 paces, right?
Not 10 paces.
See, no, you see, you're saying that, right? But you know from being on stage, when you're on stage, you're very vulnerable, right? Mm. So you create the space where you feel like you're king or you feel like you're queen, true. Right? And you say, I own this space. And there's certain things you don't do that make you feel vulnerable. So walking backwards is like, wow. He don't know when he's going to hit the back of the curtain, mm. right? And so I know that he must have timed that. He must have practiced that. And that's something that I just thought, like, wow. And the way he's like got the accents down pat, you know, me between his
uncles,
you know, African uncles, right? You know, and the mums and the friends. You know, he's tight, man. You know, good stuff indeed. And Sean Mahoney, he had his show.
Oh, Sean Mahoney was brilliant.
Yeah, he sold out as well. His show. All of us at Chillpill tried to go see his show. I think it was last Tuesday.
Yeah.
At the Albany Theatre. And we all, because we all do our shows at the Albany Theatre. So we just rang them up and said, get some tickets for Sean's show, right? And they goes, nah, it's sold out. And he goes, we can't even have you sitting on the sides. You know what I mean?
Lies.
That's sold out. There's no, man. You can't even get, there's no mates rates. There's nothing. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's dark. There's nothing.
You know? It's real on road, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, we're talking like some Panama Papers job, right? Where, you know what I mean? You can't, even if you are on that level, you can't, of Centilli Lane, you are not getting in to see his show.
That is a beautiful thing to see. Like, I mean, it'd be beautiful and also very terrifying for anyone who doesn't sell out on his show.
Would you ever do a one-man show?
I'm actually working on one at the moment.
Seriously?
Yes. Long story.
What's it called? Trying to sound intelligent.
Trying to sound intelligent.
Without Mr. G.
it's basically all of this chat, but with all of your bits just edited out. just lots of silence in that bit, lots of music. I've got something working in the wings, but at the moment, because right now, part of me researching, I'm trying not to culturally appropriate one-man shows. I'm watching other people's shows and seeing how they do it.
Yeah.
So I'm hopefully going to see Jack Rook. I've bought tickets to see his show. Yeah. It's been doing gangbusters.
That's Good Grief.
Yeah, Good Grief. I'm going to check out Cecilia Knapp's show.
Yeah.
I really want to see Sabrina Mahfouz, because I've missed her last two plays.
Yeah, same.
Because I used to work in a bar, but that's the one I'm like, you know what, if I can only buy one, I'll buy that. I'm very, very interested in DeBreeze Stevenson's show.
Okay,
just because she's mixing in grime as well. And she's talking about Boy in the Corner, which for me was an important album.
Seminal album.
Did you
see Dizzy Rascal on Sway, you know, doing the Five Fingers of Death?
No.
Oh, man.
Was it good?
He smacked it.
Okay.
He did smack
it. I honestly feel like, you know, that's part of the reason why grime hasn't come onto its own. I feel like grime is severely lacking in great albums because, and I put this to the test with a couple of grime heads. I was like, there's only one great grime album. And it's Boy in the Corner. That's it. And everyone, they're all the good ones. There's Kano, there's Wale. I'm like, yeah, you could say they're good, but you can't say they're great. You can't say that about any other genre. I mean, maybe apart from drum and bass. I don't know. I'm not drum and bass head. But you can't say about hip hop, oh, you know, me and you can argue about what was the greatest, but in terms of just great hip hop albums,
there's so many. We don't have
enough fingers.
Yeah, yeah.
In this house right now, we don't have enough fingers and toes, right? You can't say that about R&B, you can't say that about pop. And yeah, fair enough, grime is young. It's younger than hip hop, right? Yeah. And it's a young, but even in the 10th year of hip hop's existence, people were, despite the fact that Grammys didn't want to recognize any motherfucker, they were still shitting out the best of the best.
Yeah.
They were coming out with the strong classics.
It's an interesting format. I can't lie. It's an interesting format. I don't, like, I've never been the biggest grime fan in the world. Do you know what I mean? Right? I can just see it just sort of like being an aggression. I think that,
I'll agree.
I need to see a Public Enemy in grime. That's what I need to see. I need to see something that's the complete package, you know. That's my era where, like, to me, hip hop was like all over the place. And then when Public Enemy came and hit, boom, do you know what I mean? It's like, well, these guys are serious. They've got an agenda, they've got the motif, they've got everything, they've got the whole nine. And then after that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just sort of like people start to take hip hop really seriously.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what grime needs. But then again, I might just be looking it through old eyes. It might just be like the fact that it hasn't got much of a form might be the attractive thing.
Yeah, and that would be a topic for another.
No, yeah, we can go on forever on that.
For ages, but generally I feel like to bring it back to the topic, there are a lot of good one-man shows. I think it's
one-woman
for choice.
One-person shows.
One-person shows. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, even if you don't manage to see the one you want to see because it's sold out, there's bare other ones. There's, I think, Raising Lazarus is still going.
Oh, yes, Cat Francois.
There's, God, I feel like, there's, what's it called, Paul Kreese coming out with one. And it's
I saw the scratch of that years ago.
Oh, my God,
it's
amazing. Yeah. It's got so much going for it. There's...
what about the ones you hate, man?
The ones I hate.
Come on, man.
Well, you know what? Me and G, we went to see this show by Apples and Snakes called Trailers, which I thought was a brilliant format.
Yeah.
It was really, really good. It gave people a chance to kind of like put on some new stuff. There was this girl from Manchester and she did a piece and I didn't get it. I did not get it. It was about kind of her being from a family where there was a lot of...
Dysfunctional, yep.
Dysfunctional
but
family.
But to her credit, she's not an actual performer. Do you know what I mean? So what she'd written... was all right, but she just hadn't brought it to life on stage.
You know what? I'd
so the stagecraft we're admiring with Greed, stagecraft that we're admiring with Sean. Do you know what I mean?
Bridget Minimal did a piece, right? It was a 20-minute piece called Titanic. She didn't call herself a performer.
Yeah.
I love that piece. I love that piece to death. That piece had lines. I knew that it needed a lot of work, and she's turned it into a pamphlet, and it works better in that form. But as a piece, as a kind of like a performance piece, I loved it. When I went to 7 Minute Itch. Think it's called that? 7 Minute Itch, run by Michelle Madsen, who used to run Ham and Tongue.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's same format, scratches. And I saw pieces by Imogen Butler Cole, which was amazing. I saw pieces by a lot of authors and playwrights that were just read out, and they worked.
Here's my thing with one person shows. This is why I struggle with them, mm-hmm. right? In terms of like, not struggle in terms of watching them, struggle in terms of writing them, right? Is that like, I think the most I've done is about 45 minutes on stage.
That's a one man show.
Yeah, but that's just like, nice bit of banter, nice bit of, you know, a few little jokes in there, easing you into a concept, easing you into a poem, out of the poem, you know, and then I'm working nice bit of banter, easing the next poem. So it's sort of like a, you know, nice little flow, tight 45 minutes where, you know, you feel entertained. I've taken you through all levels of emotions. I've done silly, I've done romantic, I've done thoughtful, and I've done let's all love each other at the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of, like, say, one-person shows that I've seen, it's almost like you've got to have some kind of, like, this is my pain. This is the thing I'm struggling with in life. And, you know, oh, God, my... parents are giving me a hard time, and this, I'm missing this lost love from fucking 20 odd years ago, and I just think to myself, like, I don't know if I can write that.
Oh my God, you're going to love my piece.
Exactly. I know. See, I know that's the kind of stuff you can be writing left, right, and center.
I'm not writing that.
I'm just saying that, like, everyone's coming there with their this is my issue and we're gonna power through this through the medium of spoken word,
but
right?
I mean it's funny, right? Because part of the reason why I ended up doing spoken word instead of rap was because I saw a lot of things that rappers were doing at the time and I thought I can't do that,
yeah,
so I might as well do spoken word. And the reason why I wanted to do research into one-man shows is because my idea of what a one-man show is really different from what you're describing. I've seen a lot of those,
yeah.
But I could never do that. It's like, what I want to do is something very similar to what John Osborne did with his show, John Peel Shed,
yeah,
which I thought was amazing. And it was really just him just sitting there, just like, play a track, here's a story, play another track, here's a story, play another track. And it's lesser, there's a lot of ad-libbing, there's a lot of improv.
Have you seen Ross Sutherland's show?
Oh, I've been told it's really good.
No, it is amazing. It is, because that's what, like, where he's just taking you, like, This is the form you think it is, and I'm going to take you, spin you into the out.
Yeah,
universe.
Like what? Yeah. I mean, come on, you've got your one person there. You know, you've got the imaginations of any. You can build anything. You can tell people that this stroking thing you're doing is A, you masturbating an elephant's cock, or B, you polishing your saxophone.
Josh is actually masturbating an elephant's cock.
I mean, now, right at this moment.
Right, it's very
but
moment,
yeah, yeah. Look, long story short, we're all doing our own shows. We're working our way to it, and there's a lot for you to see. Check out the last Word Festival and just keep your ear out and be quick, because motherfuckers are selling out.
It seems to be like that. In fact, this is the spoken word version of the album that you're talking about with the grime artists need. I think it's almost like to take it to the next level of spoken word. That is the one person show.
Yeah, it's the one person show. Yeah. So summary. I think we've come to the end, man.
We've been trying to sound intelligent
for what for quite seems a like while. An hour.
Forever. For I mean, hour. I'm...
Do you think we succeeded?
I don't
Not
know,
in
you know.
Sounding intelligent, but trying.
Trying to sound
I know I succeeded because I made... In
you tried.
Buff mistake.
Your attempt.
I think I you know what I mean? I succeeded.
I think you succeeded in being a good trier.
likewise, right. Mr. G.
I think I failed in being a good trier.
No.
But I succeeded.
No. I think you are the perfect example of how to try to sound intelligent.
Wow, you said it three times.
That's what it needs. Do you think we need anything else? Right.
The way you said it three times, it makes me like I've been fascinated by the tune. I've been recently fascinated by the tune. I like to move it, right? Because I always think, wow. what made the dude decide to put move it twice?
Music right? does it. Music
does it.
Music makes you do stupid
because
things.
move it is different to move it, yeah. And move it ain't the same as move it.
Yeah, but that's music. That's music,
right?
Because if you went, I'd like to move it. It just wouldn't work. But you go, I like to move. And it feels good. And you don't know why. You don't need to explain it to anybody. And when you sing it to somebody else, they go, yeah, that sounds better. You know, it's like, how many times are you going to, whenever you're making music or you're listening to music or you're writing rhymes to music, you just go with what sounds right. But anyway.
No, see, I was going to get all philosophical.
Don't
man.
Do that. Don't
I was going to say
we've
that.
We've come
like,
to the end of the show. We're talking about whatever we want.
Okay, so do you think, well, my next tune is going to be, I like to know.
Wow. No. Wow.
Look at George's face.
Wow.
Look at George's face. Doesn't even want to hear
my
it.
God.
Never watched Madagascar.
Oh, my God.
Don't want to hear reel to reel. Don't care about nothing. You're not having it.
Should we have guests?
No. Should we? I think we should have guests.
We should have guests.
The interesting thing is, right, like I recently bumped into James Messiah. Yep. And I bumped into Sully Breaks.
You know? Yeah.
And I was chatting to both of them. Said, yeah, you know what? Me and Josh kind of put together and we're thinking of like bringing in guests, you know what I mean? And then they were like, who? And I said, yeah, you know, Josh, you know, Ben and City. And they both ushered the same laugh, right? It was like part nervous and part... Yeah, I think I need to talk to him.
No, funny thing is, me and actually James came here. We had a big chat about his. I mean, James is doing very well.
He's amazing,
he's
man,
killing it. And he, you know,
dude as well. He used to come down to Chill Pill when he was like 20 or something like that, or 19.
The dude
you know?
Featured on he's featured on one of the songs for one of my bands. Actually two songs. He's an absolute talent. And he's got a big heart. His most recent views, his kind of Aryan Rand. Fountainhead libertarian views that he's taken on have been. I told him I found them very, very problematic, and we talked about that. And
well, realistically, if we're going to go around this line of conversation, we should actually have him in the room, right?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, in terms of having guests, right? What should we warn or advise guests to bring?
Bring your A game. You know, just go back. I think if anyone is coming down, because. If we're going to get anybody down, I think I'm going to watch everything they've done. I'm going to be pulling out lines from their pieces and being like, what did you mean
about? Because you really do, like, you hold people to account by their words.
I feel you have to be held to account by our words. I feel like if someone was to call me up and to say, you know, because, you know, on Facebook, it's got this thing where it shows you memories of the stuff you said. And I think it's great because it's shown me how terrible a writer I used to be. You know,
you say used to be.
Still,
oh, okay.
I see,
right.
See, let me die before you bury me.
Right.
Right. It shows me how terrible a writer I used to be. And it also shows me the kind of terrible views that I held back in time. Like, I used to be transphobic, even though without knowing that I was transphobic, because I thought it was funny. Ha, ha, ha. Look at me. I'm talking about women who are men. Ha, ha. And it's if anyone was to call me up on them or call me up on the time when I was a militant atheist and I used to say, you know.
Yeah, I remember that militant atheist.
Yeah, point. Then I should be able to say that, you know what, at that time I believed it. Here's the process of thinking. I've completely disavowed those views. I apologize to so many people who are like Muslim friends of mine who are like, shit, when we were having this argument and I thought we were discussing, I was clearly just being an absolute dick and I apologize. You know, I think you should be able to say that. There's nothing that says people shouldn't be able to change. But I feel like, you know, we're artists. We live and die on our words, on our art. That is our mode of communicating. And this is us expressing ourselves.
Let's get to our old original argument.
Yes.
Right? Don't worry about the time, right? You know what I'm saying? Look at you trying to get sweating like, it's time for you to go, Mr. G. Right? No. Let's go to our original argument, right? Because if an artist... says or does something that you disagree with, right? You will actually disavow them and their entire collection.
Mm-hmm.
You have deleted tons of material
yes.
from musicians true. From your, you know, your hard drive.
Oh yes.
Just because of something they might have done in 1972.
Done.
Yeah.
Yes. Done.
You will do that, and yet my position always is like, look. The person might be a scumbag, right? The person might be a piece of shit, do you know what I'm saying? But if they've created a piece of art that has moved me, I can't deny that. And I can't delete it.
What's the question?
Right? Bill Cosby.
What, right? What's the question? What's the question? What's the question?
The question is, validate that point of view.
Validate that point of view. Well, I will validate that point of view in another episode. That was trying to sound intelligent. Motherfuckers, it's Joshua Dan and Mr. G. We're going to close out on this one of my tracks. It's called Let It Happen by Tame Impala. Thank you very much for paying attention. If you like it, let us know. If you don't like it,
fuck off.
Just seriously, just fuck off.
Don't do a freestyle.
Don't hear from you. Don't hear from you. Freestyle your poetry. Bye.
Never been closer.